What's up, guys? How are you guys doing? You guys tired or you're alive and awake? Someone said they're tired. Who's alive and awake? Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give it up for the worship team. That was amazing. Give it up for Pastor Sam and Pastor Josh. And come on, Pastor Cam, come on. It's such a joy and an honor to be with you guys. I always love being here. And I am so excited because guess who's here tonight? Jesus, come on. Jesus is in the room, amen. And I'm so excited for what he's going to do in our hearts together over these next few hours together as we gather tonight and tomorrow. I am just super expectant for God to touch us in a way that we've never experienced him before. Even as we open up, the song that we were singing was, the lyrics was something of the sort of like, do something you've never done before. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, do something you've never done before. And I believe that is what God wants to do in our hearts over the next few hours together. And so I'm just stoked to just see how he's going to move in this place. And I was talking to Pastor Josh, and I was asking, you know, was there a theme for this weekend? And he's like, no, we just want to encounter Jesus. I was like, hey, that's good enough. We just want to encounter Jesus. And I really believe with all of my heart that Jesus wants to encounter us. I believe Jesus wants to do something in our hearts that's going to change our lives forever for the sake of our love for him and for the sake of our families and for our high schools and middle schools and our communities, our cities. I believe Jesus wants to set our hearts on fire for him this weekend. And so we're just going to go for it, right? We're going to go for it. Just stand to your feet. Let's just pray together for a second before I jump in. Just lift your hands to heaven. Let's just lift our hands to heaven together. Just begin to just talk to Jesus. Just tell him how beautiful he is. Tell him how much you love him. Just tell him how awesome he is. Just begin to talk to him. Let's just set our heart and our attention on him for a second together. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We say there's no one like you, that you stand alone in love, that you stand alone in holiness, that you stand alone in mercy, you stand alone in kindness. We declare that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords. We declare that there is nothing and no one like you. We declare that you are God. We declare that you are the leader of our hearts. We declare that you are the shepherd of our hearts. We declare that you are great and that you are mighty and that you are strong. And we set our gaze and our eyes on you tonight. And we say, Jesus, do what only you can do, not by our might, not by our strength, but by your spirit. We open up the gates and the doors of our hearts, and we say, Jesus, come in. Jesus, come in. We ask that this weekend that you will break us open, that we will pour our lives at your feet as we sung the song, that we will open up so that you can pour pour out your love within us, God. We ask for fresh encounters with your love this weekend. God, we declare that we do not want to leave this place the same way that we came, but we want to leave this place looking more like you, walking more like you, talking more like you. We want to smell more like you. Jesus, we want to carry your fragrance. We want to carry your fragrance. Just tell them, Jesus, we want to carry your fragrance. Let's say that together. Jesus, we want to carry your fragrance. And so, Jesus, as we set our gaze and our attention on you, we ask that you will fascinate our hearts with the revelation of your glory, with the revelation of your goodness, with the revelation of your love and your kindness towards us and towards the world. We ask, Jesus, that you will encounter us unto transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I just want to share a testimony of just kind of my journey going after the presence of God as this weekend. That's what we want to do. We want to encounter Jesus. And I just want to share quickly my testimony. When I was in middle school, living with my grandparents in a single wide trailer in the woods of a small town called Washington, North Carolina, I was just so in love with Jesus at a very young age. I really don't remember a time when I wasn't in love with Jesus. But I was what you call a church boy. I was in church every single Sunday. I was in church every Wednesday night, every Saturday choir practice, every Saturday morning prayer meeting. I was there. If there was a perfect attendance award for being at church, I was the guy. I was, my grandparents was pastors, so every time the doors was open, I was there. But I wasn't in love with church. I was really in love with Jesus. And I just remember reading the Bible and hearing sermons and messages about Jesus praying for the sick and they're being healed. Jesus praying for the dead and the dead is rising him, unstopping deaf ears and opening blind eyes. And I just remember being so fascinated by that, by the works of Jesus. But as I was fascinated, I was also disturbed because everything I was reading, I wasn't seeing any of it. I was hearing about this Jesus that was raising the dead. I was hearing about this Jesus that was opening blind eyes. I was hearing about this Jesus that was unstopping deaf ears. But in my context, everywhere around me, I was not seeing this Jesus of the Bible. And so my faith began to be shaken by even the reality. Is this Jesus we preach about real? Because I hear one thing here, but I see something different. And so I went on this journey of just asking God to reveal himself to me, to show up to me. And because from a very young age, I just remember encountering his love. I remember him waking me up in the middle of the night, calling my name, saying, Nico, pray. Nico, pray. And now all of what I've heard of him in my heart is being challenged. And I'm like, man, like, you have to be real. You have to be real. And I just remember wrestling with this unbelief and this doubt in my heart. And just one day I just had enough and I just went in my bedroom and I was like, Jesus, if you're real, I want you to breathe on me. I don't know why I said breathe on me, but it's the first thing that came to my mind. Jesus, if you're real, I want you to breathe on me. And the best way I can explain of what happened is it felt like a wind blew in my bedroom and I fell to the floor, stuck to the ground, unable to move. And only words that can come out of my mouth was, thank you, Jesus. You are real. You are here, and you are real. That night, I had an undeniable encounter with Jesus. I had an encounter that could be never taken away from me. I had a moment with Jesus that could never be taken away from me. But what was so special about that night wasn't me laying on the floor and just feeling the tangible presence of God. What was special about that night is when I got up from the floor and I felt lighter. And as the days went on, I began to realize things that I was struggling with in my heart was gone. And I began to realize something about the presence of God. It's not just for us to encounter Him, but it's for Him to change us, to transform us to His likeness and to His image. And I believe God wants to encounter us, not just to reveal to us that He is real, but to transform you into His likeness. And my fear for this generation is that we want a touch from God, but we don't want to be transformed by God. My fear is that we want to experience Him, but we don't want to live like Him. We want to show up on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights and sing to Him, but we don't want the truth of what we sing to really permeate our soul and change us into the likeness of His image. The presence of God has a purpose. The presence of God has a mission, and it is to make us look like Jesus. It is to reproduce the life of Jesus in our walk, in our talk, in our lifestyle. And I believe that type of encounter that goes so deep that it transforms us, I believe that type of encounter Jesus wants to give us this weekend. And so we're going to go after it together. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about choosing the presence of Jesus. Choosing the presence of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, what reality has the strongest influence in your life? What reality has the strongest influence in your life? I want to share a story about two ladies, two sisters, Martha and Mary. Luke 10, I believe we have the verse, the scripture here on the screen. Luke 10, I want to read this passage. This story is about two sisters. One of the premier scriptures on simple and pure devotion to Jesus. And it reads, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted, everybody say distracted, with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to come and help me. But the Lord answered her and said, thanks, bro. And the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Everybody say one thing. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This passage here, Mary represents a bride that is consumed with being with Jesus. And Martha represents a bride that is consumed by doing for Jesus. And as we look at this story of Martha, who is serving Jesus and his disciples, upon their arrival, she is consumed by making sure everything is great, everything is in place, that there's food on the table, that she's consumed by making sure that they have a great experience. And her sister is not worrying about any of those things. Her sister is just excited that Jesus is in the room. And she knows that if Jesus is in the room, that breakthrough is in the room. She knows that if Jesus is in the room, that transformation is in the room. And so her focus isn't necessarily doing for Jesus. Her focus was sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving from Jesus. And this doesn't make Martha happy at all. Martha just snapped at Jesus and was like, hey, don't you see me? I'm over here working. And my sister here is sitting at your feet. Aren't you concerned? Aren't you concerned that I'm here working by myself, that I have no help? But yet Jesus' response to her began to reveal the condition of her heart. Jesus' response to Martha in such a gentle and meek way reveal the condition of her heart. He says, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but have the solution to your problem. One thing is necessary, and Mary is an example. She have chosen the good portion at sitting at my feet, and this one thing will not be taken away from her. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, encountering his love, is one thing that cannot be taken away from us. There's a few things as I look at this passage that stands out to me about Mary and Martha and about God's heart for his people. One of the first things that stand out to me is the word distraction. Martha was distracted with serving God. We live in one of the most distracted generations that have ever existed in human history. On every side, there are agendas, there are movements, there are organizations, there are entities that are trying to gain and win our attention and our focus. I mean, you can Google a pair of sneakers, you go on Instagram, Facebook, every ad you see is going to be advertising those sneakers that you just Google about, or those sneakers you just told your friend about at Walmart, and all of a sudden it's like it's following you. Everywhere you go is following you. But I think there's something deeper about this, about this. What's deeper is it's not just going after our money, it's going after our gaze. That there is a war for our devotion. That there is a war for our focus. There is a war for our attention. And anything that's not producing the life of Jesus in our hearts is a lesser lover. And these things are trying to distract us from what is necessary, from our good portion, for what is required, devotion to Jesus. There is a real battle for our gaze and our attention. There is a battle for the center place of our hearts. And some of these distractions may seem harmless. Some of these distractions may even seem noble. Martha was serving Jesus and his disciples. That seems noble and great, right? We can look at that story and says, Jesus, why are you bothered by this? She's trying to serve you. She's trying to make sure you have a great experience. But something about Jesus, that he's able to see something in Martha that the other people cannot see, because man look at the outward, but God looks at the heart. Jesus was able to see the heart of Martha, not just the actions of Martha. Jesus saw anxiety in her heart. Jesus saw a jealousy towards her sister in her heart. Jesus saw insecurity in her heart. Jesus saw a man-pleasing spirit in her heart. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, you are anxious and you are troubled by many things. The observation here is that sometimes distraction can be disguised as serving God. We can show up on Wednesday night youth group and lift our hands and sing to him, but yet we're distracted. We can be praying and distracted. We can be worshiping and distracted. We can be preaching, but yet we're distracted. Jesus was able to see the heart of Martha beyond her works and beyond her actions. He was able to see her heart. And his response is that your distraction is producing death in your heart. Isn't it interesting that we're in the most distracted generation that ever existed in human history? And we're also in the most medicated. Our generation struggle with depression and anxiety unlike any other generation that ever existed. I work with college students. Nearly 40% of college students struggle with depression. Nearly 30% struggle with anxiety. Among high school students, between 20 to 30% of high school students struggle with depression. Could it be that the distraction, that we're so distracted that it's producing death in our hearts, that it's not producing life? Here, Martha, who was distracted by serving God, doing what seems to be good, but yet her heart was filled with anxiety and pain. I believe God wants to deliver us from distraction. He wants a renewed focus on him. He's looking for a generation that wants him more than the world. He's looking for a generation that chooses his presence over worldly things, who chooses him who created the world over worldly things. He's looking for a generation that's willing to choose what is eternal and true and everlasting over what is carnal and vain. He's looking for a generation that will set their eyes on him and say, Jesus, fascinate my heart with who you are. Fascinate my heart with who you are. Let me stare at you and give me the grace to never look away. That's the type of devotion that he is looking for. And even in our struggle to believe that he's even alive, that we will run after him and say, Jesus, Will you make yourself known to me in my unbelief, in my doubt, in my struggle? Will you make yourself known to me? If you want him, ask him to show up in your life. Don't live life wondering when you can ask him to touch you and to change you and to encounter you and to make you new, to break off the pain, to break off the anxiety, the depression. We can ask a God who is living, who listens to us when we call upon his name. He is filled with joy to respond. Could it be that our breakthrough is on the other side of our cry? Jesus, will you show up and make yourself known to me? I believe God wants to release a cry this weekend, a cry, Jesus, will you show up in my heart? Will you show up in my life? And even circumstances and situations, we can call out to him and say, God, will you show up in my family? I believe he's going to even stretch our hearts. We cry out, Jesus, will you show up in my city? Jesus, will you show up in my school? Jesus, will you show up? And I believe he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to open up our mouths and to call on his name. Paul and Silas, locked up in jail for preaching the good news of who Jesus was. And as they was locked up, one prayed and one sung, and the earth shook. And as the earth shook, the gates were open, and breakthrough happened. Salvation came to the jailers and to their families. The key was not in a natural key. The key was in their mouths. As one prayed, as one sung, God responded. The earth shook, and the doors opened. I believe God wants to open doors of breakthrough in our hearts this weekend. And I believe it is dependent on our cry. It's dependent on us opening up our mouths and saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. How many of you in this room tonight need Jesus? Need Jesus to show up in a problem, in a circumstance, in a situation? How many of you need Jesus to show up in your family? How many need him to show up in your school? He's ready. He's ready to show up. He's ready to make himself known. He's waiting on us. It's my prayer that this weekend that we will call upon his name, and that the heavens will be open. As we break ourselves open, he will break open the heavens, and he will pour out his spirit. God is looking for a generation that will choose his presence, who will lay down the distractions of this world and to choose him. And I believe even with this call to pursue his presence, that there are things that he's going to tell us to lay down at his feet. Things that we have given our attention to. Things that have robbed us from intimacy. Things that have robbed us from devotion. And you know what those things are in your life that is robbing you from the good portion of who Jesus is.
And I believe this weekend he's going to invite us to lay those things at his feet. But how bad do we want him? How much do we want him? How far are we willing to go? How much are we willing to let go to have him? We sang the songs, Jesus, you can have all of my love. You can have all of my passion. You can have all of my devotion. I have a question for you. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? Because as we sang to him, there will come a moment where he will call us to respond with a radical act of obedience. There will come a moment where he will tell us to do something that will test all the songs we have sung and all the prayers that we have prayed. But I believe that we are a fearless generation. A fearless generation that will say, Jesus, I prayed it, I sung it, and I meant it. I believe it, and I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to choose you over the world. I'm willing to choose Christ over culture. I'm willing to choose intimacy over influence and likes and followers. I'm willing to choose you. Just close our eyes and let's just do business with God for a few seconds. I want you to think about just even the song that we sung tonight. We sung the song, I give you all of my love. I give you all of my passion. I give you all of my devotion. I believe there are things, particular things that God is asking us to lay down. Something tangible in our lives. Something that has been robbing us from deep love and devotion for him. And I believe tonight he's asking us, are you willing to lay this down? So I want you to just, you and God, identify what that thing may be. What that area may be in your life. I want you to identify it. Jesus, I ask that you reveal to us. Reveal to us the thing that is robbing us from deeper devotion and intimacy, deeper love and devotion. I ask God that you reveal to us the distractions in our lives. Distractions of our heart, that thing that is warring for the center place in our hearts. I ask, Lord, that you will show us Show us, Lord. As an act of surrender, God. As an act of surrender. Just a second, corporately, I just want us to respond for those who the Lord pointed out an area, pointed out a thing, pointed out something in your life that he wants you to let go. We're going to have a corporate moment to respond in a second. I just want to share this story before we have that moment. I remember praying. I was in high school. I remember praying and asking the Lord to just deliver me from stuff that was in my heart. And I remember just pacing the hallway, praying, crying out to the Lord. I had this picture in my mind of the eyes of Jesus, and they were just blazing with fire. And as I was staring in his eyes, I was started to shake and tremble, and I felt like something was like the insides, felt like my insides was on fire. I realized that as I was staring in his eyes, I was experiencing his consuming and purifying fire that was burning away all of those things. And I feel like as we lay these things at the altar, that the fire of God, which is his love for us, is his pursuit for us, we want to burn away all those things that's not like him. It's to burn away all those things that's not like him. That he will have our devotion. That he will have our attention, our undivided devotion, our undivided attention.